Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps to build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori Amin interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then this show. Hi, Melissa. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
So happy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I'm Melissa. I'm a screenwriter. I'm a debut author with a book coming out March 28th called Control. And I also am a marketing strategist. I've done that for like 20 plus years, which is really long. And I live in beautiful Washington State, right at the Canadian border. And that's pretty much the bulk of me.
That sounds amazing. So let's talk about your writing, because you're a debut author, but when did you start writing? When did the seed of inspiration, you know?
Yeah, well, I didn't actually, okay, well, this is a little bit of a story, but I'll make it quick. So I started writing fiction when I was a kid. I was a really shy kid, didn't have many friends, but I was really into watching soap operas at the time, which was probably terrible. I was too young to do that. And I used to write these soap operas about my classmates. And suddenly, like, everyone was waiting for the next installment. So it created this like buzz and obsession. Then I got caught by a teacher, totally shut down the project. And I didn't actually write fiction again until my mid-30s. So I have a degree in public relations and obviously have done quite a bit of writing in the marketing and public relations sphere. But as far as fiction, not till my 30s. Started as a screenwriter. I'm a working screenwriter now, still am. And then my novel just stemmed off of a script that I wrote, actually the very first script I ever wrote that didn't sell, but was the same storyline just with different characters. And I just reimagined it into the novel.
So what was the process of transition from screenwriting to writing fiction? Because I assume there are certain beats are similar, but some other parts are different. So what was the transition for you?
Yes, it was an interesting transition, because in screenwriting, you have really minimal real estate in a script, and you have to keep your descriptions really short and punchy. I do think that a lot of that writing style carries over into my novel writing. Like, I think you can tell I'm a screenwriter when you read. I'm not a very like flowery, prose-filled writer. I'm pretty punchy and like staccatoed. And so I enjoy that writing style, so it works out okay. But that was a big difference, is just like having more real estate to tell your story, which I found very intriguing from the screenwriting process. But I do think some really good things carry over from screenwriting. You have to be good at writing dialogue, right? Because your actors are saying those things on film. And so in novel writing, I think sometimes it can be easy to focus a bit more on the descriptions than the dialogue. And so I was a bit of the opposite, where I nailed the dialogue, but the descriptions needed a little work. So yeah, it's been an interesting, very interesting transition, but I enjoy using both sides of my brain, because I'm actively writing the books and I have like 5 movies in development right now. So I'm actively working on both ends of the writing sphere.
Oh my gosh. Congratulations. That's amazing.
Thank you.
You must not have any sleep, but it's okay.
No, very little.
So speaking of the book, so this is book one of a trilogy. So did you plot it out? Like, what's the process? Because I know that's definitely, it's okay to write one book when you're writing a series, especially like a bigger, like a trilogy. You probably have to think about world building and like characters and sequence and Easter eggs.
Yes. So, well, a couple things. I write as far as my screenwriting, I write thrillers almost exclusively. Mm-hmm. So I'm very used to like plotting and mystery and twists and turns. And I'm sure you saw that a lot in my book as well.
Yeah.
Heavy on those things. I've written a trilogy of movies. It was my favorite project that I ever worked on. And so I loved that telling one story over three installments. And so when it came to my book, I originally was, you know, imagining like, what could this be? Is it a single book? Is it, you know, standalone, or is it a series? And I just felt the story I wanted to tell needed to arc over three installments. Like I was really clear on what needs to happen in each of those installments. And so that was the decision to do that. Yes, it is hard to track things, particularly when you write like thriller mystery. That is always, always difficult for sure. I use the same process I use in screenwriting, honestly, which is in screenwriting, we create like a little Bible, we call it. It's like a show Bible or series Bible or film Bible. And so I'm sure it has a name in novel writing, and I just don't know what it is, but essentially it's just a document that you're kind of tracking all of these things. But I will say it's interesting because on the screen, I think there's a bit more of an understanding of like cliffhangers. So meaning like people kind of expect like that there aren't closed loops, and there can be shows like Lost or Servant or Yellow Jackets, right? These shows that kind of layer in a bunch of mystery and you're kind of left like, what is going on? Like, what is happening? None of this makes sense. But you expect it in that medium. Whereas for books, I find it's really interesting that, I think people are kind of less patient. Readers are a little less patient around like wanting answers quicker. And I find that really fascinating. I love it. I love kind of testing this whole process. And so that's been really interesting for me. Like at this point, the book's not out yet, but all my ARC readers like wanting to throw the book across the room or at my head because they want answers, right? And I love that obsession for wanting answers, but also it's intriguing, right? Because it's different than TV or film, where people want answers, but I think they're like, they understand the cliffhanger kind of medium.
It's something different. especially when the series is not out, because I think for readers there's like expectation we can just binge it all, you know.
Yes.
back to back, and so we have the answers, we have a tidy up like storyline, like an arc, you know.
Yes it's so fun. I'm like, oh, that is such an interesting thing. And I'm like a different, as a reader myself, like I'm different. I love open-ended. I love mystery. I love not knowing what's going on. So I love kind of getting feedback from people. And what's cool is I think when you write series or trilogy, you know, anytime you have a story arcing over multiple books, I think it's kind of cool because you see the legs that series can have, right? It's like you see that's going to actually only get better for you as you come out with more books or when the series is complete. Because like you said, people want to binge it all together. That is like a preferred method of reading. And so it makes it really exciting to know that like, oh, there's all this opportunity, right? Where I feel in film and TV, a lot of the opportunity sort of dies at the end of that. It's more like the excitement between seasons, if you will, or between movies. And it's in books, it's like, no, we want it all in one delicious binge. So I find that so fascinating. I love it.
All right, so let's chat about Control or the Lockwood trilogy. Tell us a little the elevator pitch.
Sure. My little elevator pitch for it is for Natalie Covington and Henry Thorne, only one thing is certain: things are about to get out of control. So it's essentially they are locked at a very creepy boarding school on a private island in Washington. Henry is a precog, so he has visions of the future. He has a vision of Natalie. He's forbidden to change it, but he feels drawn to do it anyway. And then once he does, it unlocks a giant conspiracy that links to her past, her mother, and a desire between them that they don't understand.
Okay. And more will be real. So when do I expect the next couple books of the series to come out? What's the time frame to expectation for the reader?
Yeah. So book two will be out in November. I'm finished writing it, but it will be all ready to come out in November. And then book three, I will tentatively have out by March of 2024. So
it's not so bad. Like, we don't have to wait, like, you know, years. Like, we're still traumatized by those series, like long series that we have to wait a year or 2 years.
Poor Sarah J. Maas.
Yes. Yes. I was just gonna say, like, I read ACOTAR when it was coming out, and it was just like, I was like, why did you leave me in a cliffhanger? I wanted to know this book.
You know, I read her books, I love her books as well. And it's so funny because I see all the discourse happening where people are like, no. And now there's all this speculation. Are we ever going to get another book? And I think that's hilarious. I love like all of the, you know, the buzz around that. But absolutely, no, I will not leave you. I will not leave everyone hanging for that long. Don't worry. We are on the path. Very clear. All is flowing well.
Okay, this is good. All right, so let's chat some book recommendations. What kind of books do you tend to read?
So I like a mixture of romance, thriller, and like psychology, sociology books, because that, I think, in my opinion, makes me the best writer I can be, because understanding the psychology of people is really important. Really important for unlocking some of the characters I write, I'll put it that way.
Yeah, I like the fact you like murder and like romance.
Yes.
Joy and murder.
Joy and murder. This is very true. Because I write mostly thriller movies, I love my villains. Like, my villains have my heart. So it is really, and you have to love all your characters, right? You can't judge your characters or hate them, or they'll come out really flat on the page. Mm-hmm. So it is kind of finding that thing that you love, even if it's a villain. And so that's why I'm drawn a lot to psychology, because it's like understanding or having empathy for maybe what they've gone through, to understand, even if they're doing horrible things, like, what is the motivation behind that?
I love this. And so, do you have any books to recommend our listeners to pick up?
Yeah. So I'll just give you like a couple from each area, one from each area. So as far as like books around psychology, if you want to use sort of the same method that I use, I love, there's two books. One is called Cults in Our Midst by Margaret Singer. It's a really old book, but it's so good for understanding cult mindsets. And even if you're not writing about cults, it's really great for understanding manipulation tactics. Mm-hmm. So if you want like a really great multi-layered villain, that can help. Also, there's one called The Sociopath Next Door, which is really good. So again, if you're not writing sociopaths, that's fine, but it just helps you to kind of understand the mindset of people with personality disorders. Romance, probably my favorite author in the romance category is Saffron Kent. I don't know if you've read any of her stuff, but I am all about angst. I want all the angst. I love flawed characters. Like, actually, I run away when they're not flawed. So for me, like, she does this so brilliantly. She always has the flawed female main character, male main character, and then great angst. And then thriller, oh gosh, there's so many. But there's one called Baby Teeth. Have you read that? Yes. Oh my gosh. So I've written psychopathic kid movies, which it's funny that that's even a genre, but like, I have like experience in this space. So it's hard to kind of shock me, because I've written this and I've dove into this area. And so usually like things will fall a bit flat, but this book did it. They did it all right. So I have a hard time finding friends to read it because they feel like it's too dark, but it's for me. It is a ride. It is a total ride. And then there's also a book, again, this is maybe from 2014, 2015, called Anne and Henry. It is, so I'm obsessed with Anne Boleyn and Henry VIII. Like, I love that story, but more obsessed with Anne Boleyn than anything. And it's a really cool book because it's a reimagining of their story in a high school setting. So, yeah, it's so cool. And I love royal stuff, right? All that juicy, like, angsty royal. And I think that's really hot right now as well. So that's another favorite of mine is, it's called Anne Henry. So that's another fave.
Romance. Okay. I'm adding that. And I have the Medicine Men borrowed from Hoopla for Sam.
Get it. That's probably my second favorite book of hers. My number one is Unrequited. That's like, oh goodness. Like, I don't know how many times I've reread that book. But Medicine Man is number two. So good.
Yeah. So you're just speaking my language. So Melissa, tell us where you can find you online.
Instagram is probably the best place. So I'm melissa.casera on Instagram. And I'm also on TikTok, which, okay, this is odd. I have two TikTok accounts. One is Melissa Casera Writes and one is just Melissa Casera. Melissa Casera is the author account. And the other one is like, it's a very popular account, but I only post like all of my thirst for Turkish soap operas. So I know this
is. Oh my gosh. Okay. So we got to talk about Turkish soap operas because I watched it. I watched them when I was in Puerto Rico. Like, that's it's a big deal. Like, that's what they show in Puerto Rico. They dub them in Mexico. They all have the same person who dubs them. And I am fascinated. Like, it's just like this whole world out there. No, Turkey. It,
nothing beats it. I can't even watch. I mean, listen, I am a US-based screenwriter and I struggle to watch shows here now because Turkish soap operas have ruined me. It's all I want to watch ever. Oh my gosh. I am so obsessed with all of that, like deeply obsessed. So if you follow me on, I think it's just Melissa Casera Writes. That's the TikTok account for all my Turkish little clips. I really just post about, and I'm going to botch the name because I don't speak Turkish. So please excuse me if I say this wrong, but it's, I believe it's pronounced Erkinci Kuş. And that translates to early bird. So that's my favorite Turkish show of all.
So where do you watch them? Because I know how to watch them in Spanish, but where do you watch them in English?
That's kind of sketchy. Okay, well, I will say you can get some on YouTube. So there's a great show. So what I would do is like type in the title of the show and then put English subtitles. So just like that's in the search bar. So there's a great one called Doy Beni. Again, I'm probably botching that name, but it's D-U-Y-B-E-N-I. It's like a high school, like angsty romance drama. That one's on YouTube, at least last I checked. And then the other ones, I honestly will just Google. Like, I'll just Google the name and then I'll write English subtitles. And there's all these sites. And I'll be honest, it's a little sketchy. It takes a little work to like track it down with English subtitles because, you know, you have to find somebody that's doing it. There's also sometimes Facebook fan groups for the different shows and it'll say English subs in like the group name and then they'll share it there. But it's a whole thing. And maybe that makes it more exciting because you have that feeling of I need to track it down.
Yeah, it's so weird because like I know in Latin America, they're big because they dub them in Mexico. They have like, I don't know, the person who's doing the dubbing in Mexico is earning good money because they're like they're coming up, they're putting multiple seasons, they're putting multiple stuff. So it's like they have the market. And then like I see an American market is like K-dramas is like the big thing on Netflix. And I'm like, well, what about the Turkish ones? Like they're just as good, you know?
Yeah, Netflix has some Turkish content, but they just have not like hopped on it yet. And I don't know why. I don't know if, you know, it's a negotiation thing going on. But there is a great one on Hulu right now. Demet Özdemir, who's one of my favorite actresses, it stars in it. And I think it's called like The World Between Us is the English name of it.
Yeah.
Don't know the Turkish name. Dunde something. But it's a little mini, like a limited series. I think it's like 6 or 7 episodes. So good. So that's English. It's not even just English subtitles. It's English dub. Okay. So you can, right. Which I know some people don't like watching shows and reading subtitles. So it's like, if you just want the dub, it has the dub, which is good for some folks. I like the subtitles because it forces me to watch. So like, I can't get distracted. Which also is probably another reason why I love these shows, right? It's like, but they're so good. No one does angst like a Turkish DZ.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, thank you for indulging me in this, you know.
I could talk about this all day. I don't know anyone that watches Turkish shows but me random fans online.
There's a random, like, I found a few of them, but yeah, they're huge in Latin America. So if you speak Spanish, you can find them in Telemundo. Like, they have Telemundo, like, back to back, all the stuff. I finished watching Amor y Traición, which means love and betrayal. And it's a convoluted, like, he cheated on her, had a baby, they did stuff, and then my mom was like, I watched the ending and she gets killed, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna watch the ending, because I'm like, that's not romance, like, she's gonna kill the guy. And the ending was like actually like a romance, like they changed the ending because I guess people were complaining about it,
because I'm like, these Turkish shows don't always have happy endings.
No, they have thrillers too. So there's another one that's cheating, it's about infiel, and it's Traicionera, which means like betrayal, like I betray you. So it's about like cheating stuff. The girl from Love Island, Ekin Su, was a Turkish like soap opera star, and I'm like, I want to see her soap opera.
I gotta go down this rabbit hole.
Ekin Su was a Turkish actress. Like, she did some like a whole drama over there.
Now I got to go down this rabbit hole. Man, it is just goodbye productivity. Because these shows are also, I think it's also key to note that these are like 2.5 hour episodes.
Yeah.
It's literally like watching a movie every week, right? Yeah. It's a commitment.
Yeah.
These shows are a commitment.
Yes.
They're so good.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Melissa, for a great interview.
Thanks so much for having me.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other romance recommendations, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com. Did you know you can purchase audiobooks directly from your favorite local bookstore? With Libro.fm, you can pick up more than 250,000 audiobooks, including bestsellers and recommendations from real booksellers. You'll get the same audiobooks at the same price as the largest audiobook company, you know the name, but you'll be part of a different story, one that supports your local community. If you're new to audiobooks, there's a perfect way to squeeze into more reading to your busy life. Listen with the free Libro.fm app while you do your chores, walk your dog, relax at home. The Watch Read Next podcast has a special offer for our listeners. Get 2 audiobooks on Libro.fm for the price of 1 with your first month of membership. Use code WATCHREADNEXT. This offer is only valid for new members in Canada and the US. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? Watch Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.